greetings, friends and listeners, in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we declare, yes, souls are crying, men are dying, we must work together to win the lost. And I'm excited to tell you that today's message is exactly the tools you need to be an effectual witness of the gospel to unbelievers, sinners, and backsliders. The Holy Spirit downloaded this message into my spirit fast and furiously over a 2-day period, and I believe it reveals great truths on how we can reach the unsaved. It is entitled, 8 Reasons Some Aren't Saved. I know you're going to want this CD, so I'll be back at the end to tell you how to order 8 Reasons Some Aren't Saved. So Romans 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They have all gone perverse and crooked. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now listen to how he describes them. Their throat is an open sepulcher. You know what an open sepulcher is? It's a place where you're burying somebody. But it's open so you can look in and see the rotting corpse. That's what their throat is like. Their tongues, they have, with their tongues they use deceit. The poison of asps. What is an asp? It's a poisonous snake like a cobra. Is in under their lips, whose mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. How much cursing is around us everywhere? My God, you can't stand in the line at Walmart trying to wait for your turn with people cursing in front of you, people cursing behind you. And they're just doing it like it's just normal. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, in the way of peace have they not known? There is no fear of God before their eyes. When people don't have any fear of God, there's no restraint what they'll do. They can shoot somebody in cold blood murder and drive to McDonald's and go get sit down and eat a cheeseburger and talk about the Steelers and the Packers. I want to make sure you're awake. That was not in my note. Amen? But there's no restraining them what they will do. You see, that's why Jude said when you're dealing with sinners, on some have compassion. You don't have to beat some people over the head with the Bible with fear because they have a very tender heart. Even though they may not be born again, they can still have a tender heart. And you can deal with them accordingly. He said, but on others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments that are stained by the flesh. Some people say, are you trying to scare me? Yes, I am. I'm trying to scare you out of hell. If I can scare you out of hell, I'll scare you out. That was Jude 23. He said in 2 Corinthians 5:11, knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. You have to persuade some with the terror of God. What am I talking about? The Bible says in Hebrews 10:31, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Hebrews 12:29, for our God is a consuming fire. Amen? And let me read to you 2 Thessalonians 1:8 through 9. Our God is a consuming fire. Amen? And this is what he's going to do in the day of judgment. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. If you had any question whether or not hell is eternal, you just got your answer. And speaking of that, that brings us to number 4. They have no fear of hell. They have no fear of hell. Hell is mentioned over 162 times in the New Testament. And at least 70 of those times, Jesus was the one who spoke it. In fact, he's preached more on hell than he did heaven. And yet, if you were to go back and get those same folks that we just interviewed a little while ago, and if you asked them if they believed in heaven, they would all say, of course, of course. But if you asked them same people if they believed in hell, they'd say, absolutely not. Oh, no way. Am I telling the truth? They believe in heaven and they believe they're good and they're going to get in, but they'll totally reject the doctrine of hell, even though the same Jesus and the same scriptures preached both. Well, if they believe there's a heaven and the good people are going to get in, then where are the bad people going to go? I don't know. They don't have an answer because they don't think that far. Because they're blind. Now, Hell is reality. And like I said, Jesus taught 70 different times about hell. Now, we're going to read all 70 of them for sure, but we'll read a little bit. Let's go to Luke, the 16th chapter, because it's probably the clearest of all of the fact and reality of hell and what goes on there. Jesus spoke this, and I want to tell you clearly up front, this is not a parable. How many know Jesus taught and explained the kingdom of God by using many, many parables? But this is not a parable. Why? How do we know it's not? We know that it's not a parable of fictitious characters and that it's a true story because, first of all, he didn't say, and Jesus spoke this parable. In all the other places it said, and he gave this parable and another parable he spake. It doesn't say that. Furthermore, Jesus named Lazarus, the beggar. In none of the parables, Jesus did not name any of the characters. Because it was a fictitious thing to illustrate his point. He didn't give them names. But he gave the name here of a person. It's a true story. And we will see what goes on here. I want you to know that he says that he's in a place where he is tormented in flames. Now, I will paraphrase the beginning. There was a rich man who fared sumptuously every day. He ate the best. He had the best clothes, the best food, lived in the best place. Outside of his great mansion at the gates was a beggar man named Lazarus. And so he would be there begging for food. And all he had was the crumbs. This rich man was not in any way had any humanity about him. He wouldn't even share anything with this poor man, but the crumbs from his table. And Lazarus was in such a pitiful condition. He had sores all over his body because he wasn't getting proper nutrition till the dogs came and licked his sores. But by and by, one died and then the other died. And Lazarus went to be in comfort in paradise. But the rich man, he died too. And verse 23 says, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes and he was being in torments. I want you to notice it's plural, in torments. Amen. And he is able to see far off, way off. He is able to see paradise. And he sees Lazarus there now in much comfort. Wonderful comfort, and he sees that Lazarus is there in the presence of Abraham. And this man in hell has got a mind. He can think, he can understand. It's not like he's mindless, so he won't feel the pain. He recognizes Lazarus, he recognizes Abraham. And he said, oh, Father Abraham, have mercy and let Lazarus just dip his finger in the water and come and put it on my tongue because I'm tormented in the flame. And Abraham said, I'm sorry, son. Remember in your lifetime? Remember you had many good things. Where Lazarus, he didn't have anything. But now he's comforted and you are being tormented. Amen? And so then when he says, and there's a great gulf between us, there's no way we could come to you if we wanted to. And there's no way you can get out and come to us. Amen. And so then what does the rich man, all of a sudden he thought, oh my God, I'm here forever. Amen. I'm here forever. I will never get out of this place. And suddenly he thought about his five living brothers on earth. And he said, please send somebody to warn them not to come to this terrible place. I wish God would just pull back the curtain and let us see hell. And he has for some people. Amen. Watching a program the other night, just the other night, Friday before coming to church, of people that died and went to hell and came back. And if you want to know what hell is like, get the book 23 Minutes in Hell. Amen. And you will know what hell is like. Amen. And when he realized his five brothers could come to that terrible place, he begged them to send somebody to go and warn them lest they would come. Amen. But Abraham said, I'm sorry, they have the Bible. They have Moses. They have the prophets. They've got preachers. They've got evangelists. They've got TBN. They've got Inspirational Network. They've got the Word Channel. They've got Daystar. They've got all kinds of books and CDs and syllabus. I mean, they've got preachers on every corner. If they won't receive them, they wouldn't receive somebody though he came back from the dead. Amen. Hell is for real and it's a terrible place. I want you to know that Jesus said hell is so terrible that it would be better for you to pluck out your eye and go through the rest of life with a blind eye than to go to hell with two good eyes. He said it would be better for you to cut off your arm that makes you steal and commit unholy things, kill, perversion. It'd be better for you to cut it off and go through the rest of the life maimed than to go to hell with a whole body. That's how terrible hell is. Now that reference is Matthew 5, 29 and 30. He said, that's how terrible hell is. The Bible says in Proverbs 15, 11, hell and destruction are before the Lord. You know what that means? God always, 24/7, even though they don't have time up there, but to just bring it to our understanding, has a window. God, every second of every moment of every minute and hour and day is looking into hell and hearing the cries and the screams of those who, like this rich man, are in torments. It's ever before God. That's why he gets so frustrated with us when we lose our burden for the sinner. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:20, hell and destruction are never full. And the Bible says that therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. Isaiah 5:14. Now you've probably heard some foolish sinners say such stupid things as, well, if I go to hell, all my friends will be there and we'll have a party. Now they may be correct in assuming that all their friends will be there. But I assure you by the word of God, they will not be having a party. Amen. There's not going to be a party going on. Jesus said they shall be cast into a furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, where the man does not die and the fire is never quenched. Won't be no party going on. Now it's true. God did not originally create hell for people. Because I know somebody's thinking, well, what kind of God would do that? He didn't create hell for people. God never intended anybody to go to hell. The Bible says in Matthew 25, 41, specifically Jesus said that hell was created for the devil and his angels. Amen, amen. Surely the Holy Spirit has birthed this word into our hearts so we can be able and effectual witnesses and ministers of the New Testament. I believe you can discern the spirit of conviction that was upon the delivery as these truths penetrated the hearts of the hearers, shedding light in dark places and peeling away layers of resistance. It also serves to enlighten us how to deal with hard cases when witnessing of Christ. Paul said that Satan is a mind blinder, and he uses these eight strategies to keep people from getting saved. Number one, I'm a good person. Number two, they're not ready to give up sin. Number three, no fear of God. Number four, no fear of hell. Number five, I've got plenty of time. Number six, the fear of man. Number seven, too many hypocrites. And number eight, I just can't live this Christian life. Every point is scripturally supported. There's enough anointed ammunition in this teaching to prepare you to be a powerful soul winner. You can order 8 Reasons Some Aren't Saved on CD for a love gift of $10. Ask for order SK151. That's SK as in Sharon Knotts, 151. Send your gift of $10 or more to help us pay for radio time to R.G. Hardy Ministries, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203. You may also order online at rghardy.org. There you will find many other spiritual resources by my dad, Brother Hardy, and myself. The mailing address, again, is P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203. Until next time, Maranatha.